a battleground. Danes spreading southward, meeting Magyars heading westward, and Turks heading everywhere, with the locals fighting everyone, according to history, that is.
Anyone have an air force?
The technology was
It was a joke.
Kin itched and stared morosely at the sea. She thought she saw a boat, hull uppermost, rolling in the waves. They were past before she could take a closer look, but she was the first to see the rosette. From above, the sea had put forth a flower, green petals edged with white. Losing altitude, they saw the mounds of water burst through the surface every few seconds and spread in a succession of roaring, concentric waves.
"Tide pump," said Marco, and flew on.
They crossed a wide beach, a checkerboard of fields and a forest. And then a town. Small, bucolic, but a town.
"The fortress I can recognise," said Marco,
pointing to a squat stone building among the canted roofs.
"But what is the large wooden construction?"
"Could it be a large heated swimming pool?" murmured Kin.
"Don't look at me like that. The Remans had hot baths."
"Romans," corrected Silver. Marco grunted and glided off, leaving them to chase after him.
"Why the big rush?" said Kin. He pointed to the smoke column. Kin had to admit it was impressive, even at this distance.
"That's why," he said. "According to Silver, the Disc people are ripe for mob hysteria. What do you think they'd be doing now that's in their sky?"
They landed in a mixed forest well out of sight of habitation, where a stream flowed between low, sandy banks. Kin stripped off her suit as soon as she landed, and while Silver scrabbled at the sand, switched the dumbwaiter to one of its least complicated settings. Soon it gushed hot water, filling the hole. She wallowed. Marco prowled uneasily along the bank and disappeared up a steep, tree-shaped slope. A moment later, he came bounding down.
"We must leave. There's a track up there."
Silver looked at Kin and shrugged, then wandered up the slope. She came back, looking thoughtful.
"There is a distant odour of humans," she said. "But it is a forest track, that's all, and there are plants growing undisturbed all over it."
They glared at Marco.
"People use it," he said. "They may have weapons."
"Only axes, I should think," said Kin. "Anyway, superstition will protect us. There are tidal forests on Kung, aren't there?"
"I understand so, yes."
"Well, what would be the reaction of a simple peasant Kung forester who suddenly chanced upon strange and fearsome monsters in his forest?"
"He would fall upon them and destroy them utterly."
Kin bit her lip. "I guess he would at that. Well, humans are different. Don't worry." Later, she dialed for soap and did her laundry. Silver had paddled off downstream and found a deep pool, nicely cold, in which she was floating contentedly. Marco relaxed sufficiently to bathe his broad feet in the stream. There was a sudden movement in the water, and he hissed shrilly, jumping up and landing ready to fight. Kin watched, wide-eyed, then reached down and quickly grabbed a small yellow frog. She showed it to him without speaking. Marco glared. Finally, Kin ran out of air and burst out laughing. The Kung looked from her to the impassive frog, hissed menacingly, turned and stomped off along the riverbank. That was unfair of me, she thought. Kung have no sense of humour, even Kung brought up on Earth. She released the frog and paddled further out into the stream. It was clear, and slow enough for yellow water lilies to have established a root hold. Water boatmen rowed furiously underwater to escape her as she dived. She drifted in the golden brown water between the lily stalks, moving with just the faintest motion of wrists and ankles. There were ram's horn snails with red skin, and small fish darting like swallows in the shadowy cathedrals made by the weeds. She rose in a cloak of bubbles and surfaced in a clump of flowers, shaking the water out of her hair. The archers were well disciplined. Kin looked at the row of arrowheads, wavering only slightly, and quickly decided against diving. Refraction of light or not, they could still hit her underwater. There were 8 archers in rough clothing and a haphazard assortment of armour and chain mail. They wore close-fitting metal helmets, and beneath them their blue eyes bored into Kin stolidly. A voice was squeaking in her earpiece.
"And don't start anything stupid," it said. "There's too much risk of being hit. We must handle this carefully."
Kin looked around slowly. There was nothing to be seen downstream but strands of reed mace and thick bushes.